His name. Amen.
Good morning. It's a treat to come and to share, but it's slightly intimidating because you go to a different culture, a different people, and we don't know each other. And in the same way that Luke just reminded to be careful, like don't just look at my beard the whole time and don't be envious. No, not to look at the beard the whole time. It's the same way. Like I come here, I don't represent all of Canada, but you come and you are coming to observe and see what God is doing somewhere in the world. And you're like, man, like you come and you're like, it's so easy to quickly judge. It's like, oh, there's so many good things. But what about that? I heard what you said there. That word, I don't know. That's not okay. And so it's a laying that all down and saying, God, what is it you're doing? And what can we see? What are we to be a part of? And what does this look like? So it's thank you for welcoming. Thanks for letting me come and spend time. To let someone come and take this spot for a period of time or a morning, maybe it's no big deal, but it's kind of an important deal. And so I appreciate the welcomeness to come. So before I get into this, and what a great morning, like how many of you have never met a Canadian before? There's a few. Put your hand up high. I just want to know. I'd like to say hello. Now you have. You can say you met one. You can come shake my hand. Before we jump in, like, have you ever had a question about, like, that you would like to know about Canada or that you'd like to know about me? Yeah. Our slogan in Manitoba, so I'm from Canada, but the very center province is called Manitoba. Our slogan on all of our license plates everywhere is Friendly Manitoba. And in Canada, everyone comes to Manitoba and like, you guys are so nice. So it's like, we are. We don't go very deep. But we're really like we're really nice on the front. So that yeah, we're really nice. Yeah, we're not like Americans. We're not like Americans at all. yeah. But I'll tell you, it's nice to hear a proper non-accent. So come on, lekker. Yeah. Any other you want to know about Canada or me? Yeah. No, we don't. But. If you're like a 37-point Calvinist or Reformed, so no, it is, you shouldn't grow a beard if you don't want people to remember you and look at you. And so for me, it's really beneficial because they might not know my name in Canada or in my neighborhood, but they know the bearded pastor and they just know. So I walk in a restaurant, next time I come in, they're like, oh, welcome here. And they just, so it's just, for me, it's an open ministry door. Otherwise, I would shave it off, but. It's fun. Yeah. Oh, I think we have bigger families than South Africans because my dad comes from a family of 14 children. My mom from a family of 9. But for my siblings, there's 4 of us and my children, I have 4 children. So I don't look old enough, but I have children about your age. What? Right? What? Yeah, 22, 20, 17, 15. So nah, we're getting close. Yeah. Oh, man. Before I came, I brought Andrew some maple syrup. Before I came, I like quickly searched online. I'm like, what? Do they have maple syrup in Canada? Like, I didn't know for sure like that you didn't, but apparently you don't really have maple syrup. So I'm getting like maple syrup flavored. I'm like, we just have trees you can tap. We can go to the store and we can get a tap that we can put into a tree that's a maple tree and it'll... Just give it time, and it'll drip it for you. It's just a lot. It's a thing, yeah. It's from a tree. Is it free? Yeah, it's free. But instead, what we do is we just go to the store, and we let someone else do that. You have another question? We don't need more, but this is your one chance. Yeah. It's incredibly beautiful. This. I could cry about my country. It's weird when you go to another country. All of a sudden you feel like you're representing the nation, right? And it is stunning. The city I'm in, it's like the coldest city in the world, has been. So it can go to like minus 45 Celsius. But it also goes up to plus 40. And we have weather like this, just not the wind like you guys have, which was terrible to sleep in, but that's okay. But we have everything. Like, we have the Canadian Shield, which is like all rock, and we bust, like, blow up portions so we can make highways through it. But forests, as far as the eye can see, Winnipeg is the greenest capital city in the entire world. When you fly over, you see buildings popping up through it, but it's like a canopy of green trees and grass. And you guys have like sandy, sort of dry, and your grass isn't soft. Ours is like you want to roll in it. It's so soft. It's like a golf course all the time. Seriously, it's beautiful. But it also gets really cold. Just in our part, it gets cold. All right. So you got it? Yeah. There's a lot of fires in Canada, a lot of them, and men are kind of crazy on it. But what's interesting is most people don't know that, like, in the prairies, we'll light fires on purpose in forests because it's good for a forest to be on fire, and the live trees don't light up. It's all of the ground cover, and there's certain seeds that only open up when fire hits it. Like, that's how they open. And so we'll just light it. It'll blast through. All the trees are good. It burns all the ground cover, replants and replenishes. So, no, I don't think Canada will be lit on fire. And if it did, that would be the biggest fire ever. But as many trees as we have that many fields. Like, I can drive like 15 hours in basically a straight road, and it's just rolling hills of fields. It's like nothing you have here, really. It's just different. This is really beautiful for us. You'd come there and it's really beautiful. How many have traveled to Canada? All right, a few. Anyone to Manitoba specifically? So both of you, that's awesome. So anyway, that's it. Did you go in summertime or just winter? Autumn. Oh, it's a really beautiful time. So yeah, I'll say I have to get learning how to speak properly. So autumn. It feels ridiculous for me to speak that way because it sounds like I'm like, autumn. And when you say it like us, autumn, you're like, autumn. So anyway, it is really delightful. I am, I'm married. I have four children, daughter, son, daughter, daughter. I wish that they could come, but they can't. I'm married to my bride, Kendra. We've been together married for 26 years. She's full-time studies right now. She's working on a Bachelor of Science degree that she'll finish, and then she's going to take naturopathic medicine. And it's just a path that the Lord has taken us on. So she, unfortunately, is not able to come, but one day, perhaps, she'll be here with us. I lead a church. I've been a pastor, a paid pastor, for 23 years, I think. And I've started leading the church in Winnipeg. It's called Anchor Point Church. Started leading that 8 years ago, about 8 years ago. And it's a really, really beautiful congregation, lots of young people. And it feels quite at home. All of my introverts kind of panic because you come in and it's just so loud and buzzing all the time, like this. So how many of you are introverts and it's a little overwhelming some days? Are any of you? Yeah, some, okay. My wife is also an introvert, and then she'd be like, ah. So she'd sit right in the front with me, or she'd want to be in the back. But she loves Jesus a whole lot. So anyway, the church is like that. But as we come here, we're learning, like, I'm seeing so many things that are, like, it's just, I'm going to cry all morning. Just beautiful. And we were singing how beautiful the Lord is, right? And that was so good. Like, no one here knows what I'm speaking on, but, like, we're singing how beautiful Jesus is. And all I could hear him say is, Donovan, D.C., my bride. This is my body. My body is so beautiful. And I'm like, oh, man, it's like we're worshiping him and saying, oh, God, you're so good. And on the flip, he's saying, oh, do you see? Like, they're just so beautiful. And it's so good. It's a joy to be here. There's a passage that says, as I was praying for this morning and what to speak on, there's a passage that says, be still and know that I am God. And I reflected on that all week, and I had no time to prepare when you're in South Africa because you're just with people all the time and Andrew doesn't stop talking. Did I say that out loud? This morning I got up at 5 and couldn't sleep. I'm like, all right, I'm going to... And he was up about 5:15 and we're having coffee and we talked. And but I just sense the Lord saying, like, how beautiful. And I'm enamored as I'm sitting in the back and I'm just watching throughout this week that I've been here. I'm just watching and I'm seeing, like, the work that God has done. Like, the things that he's done. It's like you become a people that are really beautiful. Like, and this is what God intended, to be like a city on a hill, like to be known, for people to look and say, come in your midst, who aren't saved, and say, like, what is it you have? There's something about you that I desire to have, and they are to come in your midst, Paul says. And when they come in, they should look and wonder, and they should turn, and they should glorify our Father in heaven. And I hear the Lord say this whole week, be still and know that I am God. I'm like, God, what? Why is that important for this congregation? Why is it important for, is it City Bowl? Why is it important for City Bowl? Why be still and know? And I've written a bunch. I don't know if I'll get to any of it. But as I'm thinking it through, I'm like, God, what is it about it? Why do they need to be still? Why do they need to know? And as I've been here, I've watched as people have just praised them radically. There were some words that were spoken about getting our gaze upon our King and worshiping and adoring. And then I could, like, feel the Father's heart as I'm like, oh, there's some who don't know him yet. I don't mean even, like, salvation. I mean, like, to know him. And if you don't know him, you don't even know what you're missing. Right? If you don't know him, you don't... You can view him as like a tyrant of a father, if that's what you've had in your life. You can view him as absent, uninterested, disengaged. But if you don't know him, then how does it change inside of you? So he comes and meets the bride that he says is beautiful. You're beautiful. He comes and meets, and the prophetic word that you spoke was like, it's beautiful, and there's a call that God would have. But man, if there is like hurts in the innermost part, like, he wants you to invite him to come and be together and for him to speak truth to you to change you. It's not just enough to, like, adore him, although we are to adore him. It's not enough to take the Bible and read truths about him. You have to know him. You really have to know him. In John 17, when Jesus is praying, and he's praying to the Father, and it's part of like a long discourse in the New Testament, and he's giving this teaching, and then he gets to praying, and he says at the beginning, and I know it's common, but it's like, this is eternal life, that they would know you, who? The only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this word to know is the same thing like in the Old Testament when it says like he knew his wife. That's a weird word, right? Like they were like, it's a nice way of saying they like, they done it. They were intimate. They did the deed. But it's like to know. It's like to know him. And I was thinking about like before I came here, before I came to South Africa, I met Andrew. And we met in the airport, and I hear that lots of you heard this story of meeting in the airport. We met in the airport, and we knew a little bit about each other, and I'd heard about him, but I didn't know him. So we meet for 45 minutes to an hour, and you know some things, and you know that your heart is connecting, and I think that's like where many maybe in here are. Like, it's like you have this connection. You know he's real. You know you know it. You've experienced it. You know it, but you don't know him. Like, there's so much he wants to reveal, and it. And even coming here, I could experience the fruit of the work of what Andrew and MC and the elders have done. I can experience the fruit of it. I still don't know him. And in the last 3 days, we've probably, I don't know, talked 20 hours probably straight. And but now we're just scratching, getting to know each other. And we had conversations that were unpleasantly awkward for me. I'm like, Andrew, I'm observing this, and it seems really off. Like, or, but what about this? Like, I saw this, and it, like, that makes no sense. And you have these conversations that are, like, uncomfortable, sort of uncomfortable. And then you're, like, testing, and we're, like, and seeing, like, how far can he push, and how far can I push, and can I, like, jump in, and can I, like, really provoke? And he told me, he's like, I'm trying to provoke you, and I haven't got there yet, and we are trying. But it's so important in knowing each other. Right? Like you cannot not unless you know. And so if you come here and all you're doing here is you're engaging with him and you know things about him, you hear the goodness of the testimony of what God is doing, but you don't know him, this is what the Lord is calling you to. This is the invitation. It's like, come, no. But it's going to take some risk. You have to ask, and he's so okay with it. It's like, God, I don't understand why. Why did you do this? It's not to ignore it. It's to ask him. Let him come near to you. Let him engage with you. Let him bring about healing for you. How many of you have, like, when you've sinned, now I know that in City Bowl you don't really sin, but pretend your elders and Andrew are not looking. How many of you have, like, sinned, and then you, like, for like the next 3 days, you put yourself sort of in penance and you're like, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. God must not love me. And you don't minister and you feel unqualified. Have you ever had that? It's like, man, this is like a huge portion of my life. It's like so sensitive. And I'm like, I just want to please my King. And Andrew talked about some of this in repentance yesterday. But for many years in my early days, I was like, God, I'm not qualified. I sinned again. And so I had to prove to him that I loved him. I didn't know him like that. I didn't know what he was like, but I had to demonstrate and prove, God, I do want to serve you. And it's not until I like opened up my heart and I'm like, God, like how do you see me? Like, I barely knew God spoke at this time, but I'm like, God, like when you look at me, what do you see? Because like I feel like a failure. I'm not good enough, but what do you see? And you know what he said? Donovan, why does like 1 minute of your life, 1 minute of your day determine who you are and the other 23 hours, 59 minutes are you're disqualified from? Why does 1 minute determine who you are? Donovan, I don't look at the 1 minute and determine. He's like, just repent. Like, just say, God, I'm sorry. And like, get up and keep going. It's like, just get up. And you know what happened? Change me. Sin changed. It changed in my life. Why? Because I would focus on the sin for like 3 days straight. God, I'm so sorry. God, I knew I blew it. God, I'm so sorry I blew it. And my eyes are fixed on my sin. No, you have to deal. But my eyes were fixed on my sin instead of my eyes being fixed on Christ. My God, I'm so sorry. I come back. I turn to you. Jesus, I'm so sorry. And I put my eyes back on him, and sin became something that was far more distant, not something that I was so attracted to because my eyes were on it. There's a phrase that we use often in Canada. It's like signal to noise. And do you put your attention on the signal, who is Christ, or do you put your attention on the noise? And if you put your attention on the noise, you're going to be like enamored. You're going to be stuck. That's all you're going to see. You're not going to make it, and you're just stuck on noise. And he's like, no. Get your eyes. And so the verse, the scripture, like, be still and know that I am God. But you have to know him. He's the only true king. And you need to know his son. In the Old Testament, they would have done anything in order to engage and come and be before the Lord and be in his presence. And here we gather here in about 5 hours, my church is sleeping right now, but they're going to get up and they're going to worship God. And we're going to be on total opposite ends of the world and we're going to worship God. They couldn't do that in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they had one place where the presence of God would be, and that was in the temple. And the gospel wasn't even able to be because of the powers that were of the air, the powers that were over the other nations. The only ones, if you came to Israel, this little weak nation, if you came to Israel, you could come and you could be adopted into their family. It was like a shadow of what was to come. And you'd come into the temple, and this is where you'd meet the presence of God. The only place. And they would say, yes, there was tabernacle and the temple, but this was the place that you would come when Israel is established. But me, how often do I just take it for granted? When he's like, no. Temple's destroyed in 70 AD. The old covenant was a shadow of what is to come. And now we live in the lap of glory. Like we just gathered here in this new place that you guys are in. And we encountered him. Like we met him and he came and he engaged. And he began to do a work inside of you. And I think the invitation is by his spirit again. It's like, do you want to know him? The only true God in Jesus Christ? Do you want to know him? Like, do you want to allow him into the corners of your heart that are like most black and secretive, the ones that you don't want anyone into, and the ones where you say, like, if they knew that part, they wouldn't love me. But not in this community, I'm telling you right now. The community of true faith in God is not like the world. The world, it's like you come in with your mask and you present yourself. And you present and say, look, and ask the question, like, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Good. Good. How are the kids? Good. Good. Weather? Really good. This is Canada. Good. 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 Oh, I'm so good. And we present ourselves, and that's how you don't get hurt. This is how you protect your heart to not get hurt, but not in the kingdom of God. At least it shouldn't be. And tragically, for a long time, it was no different. But it should be when you enter in and someone's like, man, if you really knew what was behind this mask, you wouldn't love me. It's like, try me. It's like, just reveal a tiny bit. It's like, well, I struggle in this particular sin. It's like, really? Oh man, let me tell you, my world, I did the same thing and God redeemed me. And it's like, come here, thank you that you, come here, let me walk together with you, come on. If someone has encountered him, sin is not this thing that puts a barrier. Someone confessing is like the invitation to say, I'm going to be healed. If you confess your sin to me, it's like, get in here. And now we're going to walk together. And as soon as it comes out, it like, now you can get healed. Now you can get free, amen? You're allowed to talk. Now you can get free. Like, it's like the first time ever. Because you might have held it for so long. And Jesus is like, just get quiet for a second. Don't distract the pain that's inside. Maybe you can't just go to him first. Maybe it needs to be here first. But he's like, man, come and be still. Settle your inner part enough. Get rid of the distractions enough. Whew. Be still. And then his spirit begins to do this work inside. It's uncomfortable maybe. It reveals like an area of sin. Reveals an area of hurt, reveals a lie that you believe to be true, but you can't ever get there unless you be still. I had to learn, oh man, forget the notes. I had to learn that God is a better dad than me. I had to learn that he is actually loving always and I'm only loving sometimes. I have to know that his love is pure and my love wants to be pure, but it's not always there. I remember having our children, they were young, and my oldest daughter, when she was a child, she had massive temper tantrums. And I had temper tantrums as a kid, so I was like, oh yeah, cool. So I was gonna deal. So I don't know where you guys stand on this, but I was gonna discipline my child to get her to like not be destructive. So is spanking okay? Yeah, okay. So like, okay, it's not in Canada right now, so yeah, not here either, okay. So I was like, I would go and I see my daughter hurting herself. Actually, does someone have like Kleenex somewhere? If you could grab it, or toilet paper, that'd be awesome, thank you. Oh yeah, oh what? A tissue, excuse me, do you have a tissue? Yeah, this looks soft, so. Hope it's not recorded right now. One sec. I'm the crying pastor, obviously. So my child is having these temper tantrums. So I'm like, okay, I grew up with parents. Discipline was really good. I felt loved all the way through. I'm going to help my child make it. My child's not making it. In fact, my child is like losing her mind. I was like, what is happening? Like, I am the worst dad. And I remember we turned the lock around on her door, and we locked her in her room. And I know, good parents. And I just sat down, and I cried. I'm like, God, like, what is wrong? Like, what is happening? Like, how do I get her heart? Like, she was young. Like, we're talking like two, okay? I'm like, it's not just terrible twos. Like, there is something going on. And I had no idea. Well, we lived in a home. And we had invited a bunch of people to live with us. So at that time, we had 8 young adult guys living with us in our basement. And And so they were with us, and all of a sudden I sensed the Lord say, Donovan, it's not your daughter, Michaela. I'm like, what? It's like the guys in the basement have invited demonic presence into your home. I'm like, whoa, what? It's like they've invited demonic presence. I'm like, how? You know what he said? TV. This is what you don't know. We don't have a TV. We didn't have one in our home. We had no means in which you could watch movies at this time, like zero in our home. It's like, it's impossible. I'm like, God, it's impossible. Like, we don't even have a means in which they can. But I said, okay. I was so desperate. I went into the basement. I said, guys, come on, come on, come on. It's like, I just have to get this off my chest so I can say it's not that and then move back to God and deal. I said, listen, I'm upstairs praying for my daughter. You know the rebellion that's going on or the chaos that's inside. What do I do? And this is what the Lord showed, that like, you're watching movies that are inappropriate. You're on the TV watching movies inappropriate. And you should have seen, oh, the eight guys were like this. Heads go down. They had brought a TV in without me knowing. And they've been watching movies for like weeks on end. And it was almost to the day. And they've been watching movies and they looked at me and it's like, oh, we've watched things that are inappropriate in the home. I was like, what, God? And they did something like the greatest thing ever. They took everything. See if it works. There we go. And they went and they took everything out, and it's not a word of a lie. In that moment, I go upstairs. Everything's fixed with my daughter, the whole thing. I was like, God, you actually know. You're a good dad. You're a better dad than I'm a dad. Like, you're way better than I am. And this began to change something as my wife and I began to get, like, increasingly honest. We didn't have this. Like, there's nothing like this. And we're like, wow, God, like if this is how you parent, if this is how you teach, is this how you reveal, if this is how you remind, if this is how much you love my family, it's like, okay, I'm in. And it changed us. But actually it took, God, I have nothing left. I have no answer. I don't know where we can go. Be still and know him. Jesus, like to know him. And he sends us the Holy Spirit, right? The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. I was like, this is God. God is not a distant God saying, you suck. I had lots of acne growing up as a kid. And I'm like, yeah, God is up there and he needs a certain number of, I thought this actually, there's a certain number of pimples that need to be on people's bodies. And I got all of them. Right? It's like, great, right? I was like, God, anyone else? In fact, when I was a child, I was like, God, if you could take all of them from here, put them anywhere else on my body is fine. And then I was like, or, God, can I have a beard? I said this actually. I was like, I don't care if I have to shave three times a day. I just want a beard because I had lots of acne on my face and it would originally cover it. You don't see anything today because I have a beard. No, there's nothing there. But this is how I viewed God. I viewed him as like, he had a certain number of bad things that he needed to do for people. Ah, my friend, in a tragic accident, he was an indigenous man who broke out of like chaos in his home, and he got hit by a drunk driver, paralyzed from the waist down. I'm like, God, for days, I was like, God, like I have a good family. Like if you needed someone to be hit, like me, I can live in a wheelchair, that's fine, but not, God, not him. And it was like weeks, and he's on the bottle and he's done and all of his hopes are gone. I'm like, what? And God had to reveal himself to me. He had to reveal. City Bowl, he has to reveal. It's not enough to reveal to the elders alone. No. He wants to reveal to you. He wants you to know him. This is like how we're transformed and changed. It's like, God, would you teach me? And what are the things in the innermost part that we don't want him to know. He already does. He already does. And he's like, you could stay there or you can move into his joy or his salvation or the completeness with him. How many of you have ever heard of the song, What is Love, Baby, Don't Hurt Me? What is love, baby, don't hurt me no more. Okay. I read the song this week because it was in my head. I was like, it's really kind of terrible. Like, baby, don't hurt me no more. And the whole song is like trying to convince themselves that they're in love or this person is in love. And it's like, but they're getting hurt and abused. And I was like, whoa, that's not love. This isn't it. And it's like, love isn't staying together at all costs and just being abused all the way through. That isn't it. Love isn't being trampled, although it could. Love isn't being abused, but there could be elements of chaos or pain or hurt that's in there. But I was like, God, what is this idea of love that perhaps this church maybe needs to know? What would be the things in maybe South Africa, or if you don't want it to be so personal, what are things that the world would say are love? Help me. What's that? Acceptance. You have to say it with a Canadian accent. Acceptance. Acceptance. Yeah, they would say that would be it. What else is love in our culture? Feeling good. Sex. Oh, sounded like six, the number. But sex, yes. Of course. Everything sexuality, sex. That's right. What else? Feeling safe. Popularity. Sacrifice. What else? Money. I was just going to say wealth. What else? Security at all costs. Equality at all costs. Right? Like, these are things that the world would say. Now, God says that we're supposed to love each other. It's like, this is like the greatest command, that we're supposed to love him and love our neighbor. And it's like, he makes this thing, and it's like, it can't be as simple as to love. But if we believe that the concept of what love is what the world says love is, we're never going to make it. So if we don't know him, if we're not in relationship with him, if he doesn't reveal his love to us, then we're actually going to love people falsely or fakely. We're going to have a shadow of what is love, and it's going to be really disproportionate. It's like, I don't know if you have it here, social justice. Is that a thing here? Okay, like Canada is social justice. And I'm like, man, social justice is not just. My perspective. Social justice is not justice. Justice is justice. God is just, but social justice? It's like, it's almost like idolatry, right? It's like, everything's just except we're going to give special favor and benefit no matter what. Special favor and benefit no matter what. Special favor and benefit no matter what. And if that's what our view of love is, we're going to say, God, you're unfair. Because sometimes he has to limit us. Sometimes he doesn't allow us to do these things. Sometimes it's like the person that you don't even like gets a prophetic word and opportunity and you don't. You're like, it's unfair. Yeah, hitting a soft spot. I like that. All of you are like, testify. But it's like unfair. And he's like, God isn't fair. He's just. And he isn't fair. He has a mission and a plan that he wants to accomplish. And he needs different people, different gifts at different times who are willing to be sent into all the corners of the earth. Ah, so what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. It's not tolerance, but sometimes you have to be tolerant. It's not challenging someone, although sometimes you need to challenge. It's not don't do bad drugs. Jesus says this in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, this is really popular, I know, among you guys as well. All of the entirety of the Old Testament lies upon these two things. Everything in the law and the prophets is pointing to this. It was like trying to help everyone see, no, you got to love him. You need to love him, but you can't love him if you don't know him. Right? It's like the Old Testament, they wanted to know him, or they wanted his favor, but they wanted to live like the world. So they would come in and they would with praise with their mouths, but they were far from him. And God's like, oh, if you don't turn your eyes, we're done. If you don't, if you do, I will. If you And he had these qualifiers all the time, and they just blew it. His love isn't to make you feel nice, although when you love him, you feel nice. Right? But that's not the goal. The goal isn't to worship God so that he says you're beautiful. No, the goal is we worship him because he alone is worthy of, he's it. He is it. And the benefit, the fruit, is that he comes and it's like, oh, Jesus, you're so near. But if you never get still, you never know him. If you never get still, if you never, like, allow the things that are inside to be exposed and for him to speak to it, you never know. Paul says it like this in Galatians 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. And it's like, oh yeah, to love each other. So Jesus, again, he comes and he's like, if we fall in love with him and we truly know his love, then we're going to be able to love others. But if you have a false idea of what his love is, you're going to falsely love others, which is why the commandment is like love your neighbor as yourself. You can only love, I think, as far as you have been loved. And so if you don't keep pursuing the love and knowing him, then actually we don't end up loving each other all that well. We love each other pretty falsely or fakely, I guess. In Canada, we're trying to pass a law, and by we, I mean not me, that if you say anything that offends or hurts another person, it's considered hate speech. You are here too? Oh. Isn't that crazy? Anything. So if you have all this hurt in you, and I come and I'm like, man, come here. I see that you're broken, or like, you just need a dad. You just come here, let's walk together. It's like, son, don't do this, come on. And then you get offended. Jail time. That's what our government is working to. I know you guys have it worse here, I get it. I've heard lots of the stories. But how do you deal with that when the kingdom is so contrary to that? The kingdom has nothing to do with fair or people's feelings, but it cares about people's feelings. But doesn't care that you just feel good. It cares that you have real joy, real peace, that you really know him. When I was young, I wanted a testimony like Andrew's. I wanted one that was crazy because I followed God my whole life. And I would use other examples, but I only know Andrew. Tiny bit, but I don't know all the bad things you did, Luke. Not yet. We'll get there. Lunchtime. But I felt like the only people who had a voice in our country were those who were crazy. And they would come in and they would testify of all the wickedness they had done. And then they met Jesus and they would just share a little bit about Jesus. I'm like, God, I guess the only people that get to speak your word that have any value in the church in our country are people that are like that. And then you would meet them and be with them and they like barely knew God. They had a moment. So what do you do with that when you... What do you do when this is the feeling inside? You can stuff it. You'd be like, whatever. You can just ignore. You can beat yourself up. You can all that. Or you can come to him. You can come to seek wisdom. You can come before the Lord who knows all things. You can come and say, oh God, what do you see? And he told me, he's like, Donovan, you have two things that every person in the world wants. Now go give that away. I was like, what do I have? You know what I have? I have joy and I have peace. I don't know what it's like to not have peace. Honestly, I don't know. I've had like a couple of moments. I remember one time I felt so chaotic inside at my previous church. And I was like, God, what is going on? And I went and I'm looking outside and I'm beautiful sunrise coming up. And I'm like just angry. I'm like, this is horrible. Why am I so angry? And God's like, can you imagine if people like felt like this all the time? Like, are there people like that? It's like, the majority of people have this like, bleh, inside. Donovan, you just have peace and joy. You do not know what it's like to live in chaos. I'm like, oh, okay, God, I'm in. That I can go give away. Do you want that? Isn't this... Okay, Isn't this what he promises to us? John is a really good book. I'm just going to skip ahead to there and we'll wrap this thing up. I think verse 8, I don't know where it is in my notes. You have verse 8 up there. John 15. As the Father has loved me, verse 9, okay. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now what? Remain in my love. This is what he asks of us. Can you remain there? This to me insinuates that you can depart from it, but if you can remain there, as the Father has loved me, so this is now Jesus saying, look, I've been loved. I am loving you, right? This is the pattern of love. Father's loved me. I have loved you. Now you're supposed to remain in the love to him. This is brotherly affection. This is the love this way. It's this unity that we have. And it goes on, it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is our Father who's so good. This is Jesus who's so good. He's like, he lived it. And he's inviting you to also live it. He's not demanding you do this, although it seems like just a demand that you must. He lived it. This is the challenge of being a minister of the gospel. It's like, I don't want to preach anything that I'm not living. And so here says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus says, you are my friends, and if you do what I command. It's like, what? Like, if you had an earthly boss that is not righteous, that commands of you to do things, it's like off-putting. It's like, inside, I'm like, no, no. But not our God who is perfect. I no longer call you servants or slaves because a servant does not know his master's business. I like it. He's just like, everything is open. He's not tricky. He's not sneaky. He's not trying to dupe you. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. Just everything in the light. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you, so you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. And this is what Donovan has tasted when I've come to South Africa to enjoy Josh Jen here. This is what I've tasted. I love, like, homes. Like, how many people have come and said, we've had people stay with us. People are staying with us. And it's like this beautiful thing. It's like this love that you have one for another. But this is my caution. Don't rely on the momentum of those going before you. If you rely on a momentum and just like, no, 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 I'll just fall behind. All great moves of God come to a grinding halt really quick. Usually when the leader, gone. Right? Usually because it's like, We relied on the labor of someone who's gone before us. And here, it's like, this is like an invitation. It's like, don't rely on that. Don't rely. Have this unity, but don't pretend that you're unified. Be unified. Don't pretend you like each other. Love each other. Don't pretend you like God. Love him wholeheartedly, even when it grinds you and rips you on the inside, because then his joy can be made complete. This is what he wants for you. Then you can have true peace. You can have true joy because you know him. I think this is where it starts. Even in Proverbs it says that this is where we start with wisdom. Fear of the Lord, knowledge it comes to, and wisdom. It's just spoken all the way through. It's like, God, I need to know you. God, I turn my eyes to you. God, I desire this. God, I'm terrified. Why am I terrified? Why am I so afraid to come in relationship with you? And you just get still, and he begins to speak, and he's like, my child, thank you that you would invite me to sit with you. It's like, he's so gracious. It's like, he doesn't stand at the door, and then, poof, he's just like, come on. I'm so kind. It's my kindness that leads you to repentance. Come on, like, will you, let me come. And he waits. He's so patient. Remember the prodigal son, right? It's like every day he went on the street and he looked. And the day that he came, he runs to him. And this is our Father. This is what he's like. He's trying to help you to see what the kingdom of heaven is like. So maybe as I wrap it up now, maybe this is it, right? Like, maybe Maybe you're here, and it's like you've just observed and watched and pretended. Maybe your hands are raised, and you're like, boop, boop, boop. Right? You're worshiping him, but inside, you're thinking about tomorrow. You're waiting for this over here. Like, I've had this lots in my life, right? You're like, oh, God, but inside, you're thinking about something like a friendship that is hurting or a sports game that you want to watch or whatever it is. And maybe you just know a little bit, just a little bit. And the invitation today is like, do you want to know him? Do you want to come into like the knowledge of who he is in increased measure? Do you want to know the Savior, the one who created all things, the one who with a word can transform, the one who with a word can create? This word is so powerful. The one who can go into a nation ahead of us and already remove the demons that are there that have had power and control. Like the one who comes and dwells. And he doesn't just dwell. He created the idea of like his spirit being able to live in you and you could be the temple of God. Do you want to know him? And so this is the invitation today. Do you want to know him? Maybe just close your eyes with me. Maybe you've just never known him. Maybe you're just brand new and you're here, but maybe like you've come to church here for a while and you just don't know him. Like you're like, I don't know what he's speaking of. It's not just Canadian. This is the kingdom of heaven. And his invitation is like, do you want to know me? All you have to do is ask me. Come, 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 come. Jesus says, like a builder doesn't go and just build something without counting the cost. By no means do I want to say, like, just give your life to him and, like, everything's just peachy. Like, it's just good. No. It's free.